The scripture passage we have tonight is rather lengthy. Bear with me as I read this together. I can't split this up. It's a story. So follow along if you'd like in your pew Bibles or in your own Bibles. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 24. Sometime later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid siege to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The siege lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver and a quarter of a cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him, "Help me, my lord the king." The king replied, "If the Lord does not help you, where can I get help for you? From the threshing floor? From the wine press?" Then he asked her, "What's the matter?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we may eat him today, and tomorrow we'll eat my son.' So we cooked my son and ate him. The next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so we may eat him,' but she had hidden him. When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his robes. As he went along the wall, the people looked, and there underneath he had sackcloth on his body. He said, 'May God deal with me, be it ever so severely, if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, remains on his shoulders today.'" So what's going on is Elisha's fault. It's God's fault. "Now Elisha was sitting in his house, and the elders were sitting with him. The king sent messengers ahead, but before he arrived, Elisha said to the elders, 'Don't you see how this murderer is sending someone to cut off my head? Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door and hold it shut against him. Is not the sound of my master's footsteps behind him?' While he was still speaking to them, the messenger came down to him, and the king said, 'This disaster is from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?' Elisha said, 'Hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says. About this time tomorrow, a say of flour will sell for a shekel, and 2 says of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria.' The officer on whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, 'Look, even if the Lord should open the floodgates of heaven, could this happen?' 'You will see it with your own eyes,' answered Elisha, 'but you will not eat any of it.' Now there were 4 men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate. They said to each other, 'Why stay here until we die? If we say, we'll go into the city, the famine is there, and we will die. If we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. If they spare us, we live. If they kill us, then we die.' At dusk, they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans. And when they reached the edge of the camp, not a man was there. For the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army, so that they said to one another, 'Look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us.' So they got up and fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and donkeys. They left the camp as it was and ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp and entered one of the tents. They ate and drank and carried away silver, gold, and cloth, clothes, and went off and hid them. Then they returned and entered another tent and took some of the things from it and hid them also. And then they said to each other, 'Hey, we're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace.' So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, 'We went into the Aramean camp and not a man was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys in the tents left just as they were.' The gatekeeper shouted the news and it was reported within the palace. The king got up in the night and said to his officers, 'I'll tell you what the Arameans have done. They know we're starving, so they have left the camp to hide in the countryside, thinking they will surely come out, and then We will take them alive and get into the city. One of his officers answered, Let's have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. Their plight will be like that of all the Israelites left here. Yes, they will only be like all these Israelites who are doomed. So let us send them to find out what happened. So they selected 2 chariots with their horses, and the king sent them after the Aramean army. He commanded the drivers, Go and find out what has happened. They followed them as far as the Jordan, and they found the whole road strewn with clothing and equipment from the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the messengers returned and reported to the king. And then the people went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans. So a say of flour sold for a shekel, and 2 says of barley sold for a shekel, just as the Lord had said. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you for preserving this miracle, this event in the history of your people, the people of Israel. Lord, miracles await us. But we must ask for them, expect them, and trust you to do them. And I pray that maybe sometime this week, one of us will see a miracle. And I pray this for myself as well as for all the rest of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we go any further, I'd just like to ask you to open your Bibles back up and look with me at something in the 29th chapter of the book of Acts. Would you do that a moment? I just want us to look at something there a moment. Acts chapter 29. Did you find it? This gentleman right here had it before he even started paging through. There is no Acts chapter 29, is there? This is my point. The book of Acts was written about how God used the apostles and the first century believers to share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, how it spread. It was the We sometimes call Acts the Acts of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit filled ordinary people like us to share the good news, and it spread through all the then known world. We today are writing the 29th and the 30th and the 31st chapters of the book of Acts. There is a 29th and 30th and 31st and so forth chapter of the book of Acts. We're writing it. The gospel of Jesus Christ, good news, good news. What are we doing with this good news? The book of Acts begins with a passage. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. It ends, chapter 28, last verse, verse 31, boldly and without hindrance, Paul preached, proclaimed the kingdom of God, and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. So this book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit starts with witnessing, it ends with sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. We have good news to share, you and I. But that's the question. The title of our message, to share or not to share. To share or not to share. Now, it's one thing for the church to have a ministry of sharing the gospel, but what about us as individuals, Christians, followers of Jesus, who have experienced the good news ourselves? Do we, do I, do you have good news to share? Most definitely, yes. What are the acts of the Holy Spirit that are being accomplished today through people like us? Well, In the passage of scripture we read together tonight in 2 Kings, we read about these four lepers who discovered some fantastic good news. They discovered that God had delivered the people of Israel from a desperate situation. And when the lepers discovered this, they began to enjoy this good news themselves. And then they came to the realization that they couldn't keep this to themselves. That would just be wrong. They had to share it with others. So let's take a look at this incident in the history of Israel and draw some parallels to our circumstances today. We have good news. You and I, we have good news to share. God has spoken to us in a desperate situation. The desperate situation of the people of Samaria. Samaria was the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel. The desperate situation is described for us in this passage, verses 24 and 25. The Arameans had laid siege to Samaria, and there was a great famine. This siege had gone on for so long, they were running out of food. A donkey's head, which was considered unclean by the people of Israel to eat such a thing, was so valuable, it sold for 80 shekels of silver. A cab of seed pods for 5 shekels. Kind of the derisive way that people referred to these seed pods, their way of referring to them was to call them donkey's dung. These little pellets that fell from a donkey's rear. That's how valuable those seed pods were in good times. But now, these seed pods were worth 5 shekels. They were in a desperate situation, so desperate that they began to eat their own children. A woman cried to the king, "Help me." "What's the matter?" he said. "We made a bargain, this woman and I. We would eat my son today and her son tomorrow. And we cooked my son and ate him, but she's hidden her son. It's just not fair." Can you imagine anything worse than this? This is how desperate people were. I mean, we can sit here, and I can sit here comfortable in our circumstances today, and we cannot imagine what they were going through. It was desperate. Eat my own son. Cook him. Boil him in a pot. Put him in the oven. God had predicted this. In Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, God had said, "If you people turn away from me, the day will come when you will eat the flesh of your sons and your daughters." And now it was here. This was their desperate, desperate situation. They were dying slowly but surely. Attack from their enemies on the outside of the city gates, starvation, cannibalism on the inside of the city gates. Desperate. But God spoke words of hope to them in this desperate situation. Chapter 7, verse 1, Elisha said, "This is the word of the Lord. Hear this. This is what the Lord says. Tomorrow, about this time, 24 hours from now, a seah of flowers will sell for a shekel, 2 seahs of barley for a shekel." Today, it's desperate. Tomorrow, there will be so much abundance. How is this possible? How is this possible? Look at the contrast. Today, we're eating our own child. Tomorrow, 24 hours from now, we'll have food in abundance. Let's switch gears a minute and consider our situation today. We're comfortable. I'm comfortable. We're in church. It's a beautiful facility you have here. We're all well-dressed. We've had nice meals today. Some of us, most of us, are retired. It's a good life. But we're under attack. There is an enemy. And we're under attack. It's all around us. The enemy is Satan and sin and death. And all humanity, including you and I, who are redeemed, we are still slaves, not slaves, but we are still have a sinful nature. And the result of sin and a sinful nature is suffering and turmoil and lawlessness and death. And sin and a sinful nature makes people like us capable of all kinds of atrocities. I'm sure most of us are depressed by the news that we hear every day. I mentioned in my prayer, the last time I was here, I prayed that we'd enter into this school year and there wouldn't be any shootings in American schools this year, but there have been several already. We would never eat our own children. But the fact is that we in America do kill our own children. And in many places of the world, we practice infanticide. When they're born, we kill them. We are capable of the most vicious crimes: rape, child trafficking, assassinations, riots, destruction of property. Society seems to be coming apart at the seams. And many try to scrape together a meaningful life. They try to scrape together some semblance of joy through temporary distractions. But the end of all of it is eternal condemnation. Desperate situation, folks. You maybe don't feel it, but it's there. But God has spoken to us words of hope in our desperate situation. Way back when Jesus was born, an angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified by this display of God's power. And an angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." Good news. Good news. Words of hope in a desperate situation. We have good news to share. God has delivered us from our desperate situation. In our passage of Scripture, we read in verse 3 about these four lepers. And they're in a more desperate situation than everyone else. They're outside the city gate. Everybody else is inside. At least the enemy can't get to them. But these lepers are excluded. They're outside the city gate. So they're sick. They've got leprosy. They're starving, and they're susceptible to the attack of the enemy, more so than anyone else. And they realize it, so they say, "What are we going to do?" They've got absolutely no hope. So they say, "Our only course of action is to surrender. If we stay here, we'll die. If we go into the city, we'll die. Let's try the only thing we can. Let's go to the enemy, surrender, maybe they'll have mercy upon us and we'll live." And so they execute their plan, and we read in verses 3 and 4 that at dusk they got up and went to the camp of the Arameans, and when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. The Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army so that they panicked. They thought Israel has somehow hired the Hittites and the Egyptians to come to their aid. And they fled. And so the lepers go into the camp. They enter a tent. There's all kinds of food and there's clothing and there's silver and gold, the booty of this army. And they begin to enjoy it. They eat to their heart's content. They take silver and gold and they take it off and hide it. These men who had nothing, they were delivered from their hopeless situation. They were delivered from their hopeless condition because they exercised the only option they had, which was surrender. God has also provided deliverance for us from our hopeless situation the attack of the enemy, Satan himself, the curse of sin and death. And the Apostle Paul puts it this way in Ephesians chapter 2. As for you, you and me, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Like the rest of us, we were by nature objects of God's wrath. You were separate from Christ, without hope and without God in the world. Desperate situation. But, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away without hope in the world have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Like the lepers, we have to recognize our desperate situation and exercise our only option, surrender to this God, his solution for our desperate situation, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle John says, all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus' name, God gave the right to become his children. Delivered from a hopeless situation. We've good news to share. We must tell others. We cannot remain silent. In verse 9 and 10, we read about the lepers coming to their senses. They said to each other, hey, this isn't right. We're not doing right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this. So they went and called out to the city gatekeepers and told them the good news. You know, I think if I was one of those lepers and I'd come into all this wealth and this bounty, I think realistically I might have thought to myself, you know what? Those people in Samaria, they never cared about me. They never cared about helping me. They never cared about welcoming me. They never cared about sharing with me and my needs. Why should I tell them about this? But they didn't do that. They went. They reported. They called out. They were still excluded. They had to call out from outside the city. And they told them the good news. I think we would all agree that we cannot keep silent about the good news of the gospel. And the church has, through the centuries, not kept quiet about the good news of the gospel. We've proclaimed it. But what about me? What about you? What about us? I remember a time when I was in the army, and I had spoken to a guy from New York. And he was saying to me, Dave, if it's such good news, why haven't somebody else told me about it besides you? I had no answer for him. I've been reading this book, How to Talk About Jesus Without Looking Like an Idiot. And there's a quote in this book that I found very interesting. It's a quote from an atheist. Listen, I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, but that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I would tackle you. And this is more important than that is. Huh? I had that quote on the screen. In the book of Ezekiel, God comes to Ezekiel and says, I'm sending you as a messenger. You're a watchman. I want you to be on the walls of the city, of the people, so to speak, and watch and report and warn. When I say to a wicked man, you shall surely die, and you, Ezekiel, do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin. And I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the wicked man, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sins. But you will have saved yourself. You warned him. You spoke up. You shared. Dave Bass, the former president of Words of Hope. Words of Hope is a mission organization that shares the gospel in the hard places of the world where missionaries are not allowed. It's shared through radio, television, social media, and so forth. In his devotional book called God of My Days, he says this: if we proclaim the gospel throughout the world and people don't believe, that's on them. But if we don't proclaim it and people don't hear, well, that's on us. Let's make this a little more personal. If I proclaim the gospel throughout the world and people don't believe, that's on them. But if I do not proclaim it and people don't hear it, well, that's on me and you. So why don't we share this good news? Why do we hold back? Fear. Fear of offending, fear of not knowing what to say, fear of not knowing how to go about it, fear of having someone ask a question we don't know how to answer, fear of offending them. Well, we don't want to offend people with sharing this good news. We want to share in a tactful and respectful way. 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. So you have a personal relationship with him first, and then after you have a relationship with him, always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. You know, if I came here tonight and I saw one of you ladies walking around and you had a price sticker on your blouse or your jacket that you had put on a new outfit, but you forgot to take off the sticker price. I wouldn't shout from across the room, hey, ma'am, you forgot to take the sticker off your outfit. No. The respectful, the kind, sensitive, compassionate thing to do would maybe go up to her and privately say, ma'am, you've got to. We don't want to offend people with the gospel. But we do want to share it. And look what Peter says here. Just be ready if someone asks you. What would you say if someone asked, what do you do on Sundays? Well, I go to church. Why? What do you find in church? What's so good about church? Nothing I hear about church. Most church people don't even like church. What would you say? We have good news to share, friends, and it's for anyone who will accept it. We read in our passage in the last verse, then the people of Samaria went out and plundered the camp of the Arameans so that it came true. 24 hours ago, we were eating our own children, and now there is abundance. It happened overnight. And everyone who left Samaria and went to the camp of the Arameans enjoyed the turnaround. They were delivered from their desperate situation. Now, some may have stayed back in Samaria because they believed the king. The king said, oh no, they're just setting a trap for us. They're up in the hills. And if we leave the city, they'll pounce on us. So some maybe stayed. But those who left, those who went to the camp of the Arameans, were delivered. Jesus said, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. 3 weeks ago on a Monday night, I went to a Words of Hope banquet celebrating their 80th year anniversary of ministry. And we were told that night about a man from India. His name was Paka. Paka had been born with birth defects. He was confined to a wheelchair. He started to listen to the Words of Hope broadcast on his radio. And he was so ignorant of Christianity, so ignorant of Jesus, that he thought that Jesus was some kind of a spirit that inhabited the radio. And so out of fear, he listened to that spirit on the radio. He accepted Jesus as his Savior. His faith was kind of all off. He thought Jesus was a spirit in his radio. But he was discipled by the Words of Hope people. He came to understand that Jesus was a living person he could have a relationship with. He began to share the message of Jesus with others. Paka, confined to a wheelchair. We were told that night, there were 200 of us there, that Paka has won more people to faith in Jesus than all of us combined. Now, that's quite a statement. The present president of Words of Hope is a guy by the name of John Opkenorth. John asked Paka, how is it that you know what to say? What do you say to these people? You've only been a Christian for a little while. How do you know what to say to them? And this is what Paka told John. Well, I get up early in the morning and I read my Bible. And I pray. I pray for myself. I pray for others that I might run into. And I pray that God would use me. And then I just go out into my new day and try to do what I've read in my Bible. We've got good news to share. You and I. The church, yes. But you and I. It might mean that we have to get up a little early and read a book, read the Bible, pray for ourselves, and pray for others. But it can be done. We were told again that night about a group, about the ministry in Iran. Iran is one of the hardest places in the world to be a Christian. But the Iranian country, Christianity is growing per capita far faster there than anywhere else in the world. That's what they said that night. If you become a Christian in Iran, you are in danger of being arrested, thrown in prison, or even killed. We were told that last year, 2024, 139 people, Christians in Iran, were arrested and imprisoned. But we were also told that those Iranian Christians will not keep silent. They're sharing the gospel and the church is growing. I want to challenge you as I challenge myself. Let's not remain silent. This week, let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's use the name of Jesus in our conversation. Let's say to someone, I'm a follower of Jesus. My day has been going fantastic. Or, I'm a follower of Jesus. My day has been going terrible. But I know he's with me. People need to hear that. And since the Charlie Kirk assassination, young people are hungry to hear this. Please join me in prayer. Lord, give me the desire to share the good news. Give me the desire to prepare myself to share the good news. Give me a compassion and a sense of urgency for people that I know in my family, in my neighborhood, in my school, where I work. Father, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit so that I may share the gospel, the good news, effectively, powerfully. Father, bring someone into my life this week with whom I can lift up the name of Jesus and share with them that it's good news. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.